Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Nico, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm going from my place in San Francisco in a self-driving Waymo to the field right now.
I have done the Waymo when I've been out in Arizona. By the way, Speaks is off today. Big Ant Heron, who played in the NFL as a Iowa football legend, is hosting with me, Nico. So
what up, Nico?
So he wants to say hey, but I have taken the Waymo and I now prefer it. What's your experience?
It's a smooth ride. I mean, no highways in the Waymo, which I'm cool with. Keeping it under, 30 miles an hour or so, just cruising across the city. It's smooth.
All right, so I'm the dinosaur who hasn't been willing to attempt this yet. I do have some West Coast friends who've done it a few different times, and they love it like Nico seems to love it here. Give me the rundown, man. Like, when is this your first time doing it? Do you know the route it's going to take before you hop in?
Yeah, so I live here in the off season in San Francisco, so I'm pretty familiar. Usually have my car out here, but obviously not this time of year. So it's smooth. I think a little more consistent than the Uber. It's nice. And I knew I was going to be talking to you guys, so got no one else in the car to listen to me.
It worked out really well, and they'll play like the soothing music for you if you need it as well.
My
big moment was earlier this year, because I had done it before, like you just kind of like try it out, and it's big out west and in the desert. And my moment, Big Ant, was I was in an Uber. I'd landed at Sky Harbor, and my Uber driver, first of all, when I got in, he said, "Oh, you look like you're rich." And I was like, "I don't like that, how that sounds." And
you do kind of look like money, but
okay, that's fine, but I don't need him to tell me that and then take me someplace and rob me. But then he said, "Oh, I just got back from," I think he had been to Thailand, and he wanted to show me pictures and videos, and he decided that he was going to do that while driving. So he had one hand on the wheel, and then the other hand was showing me the videos of all the cool things that he saw, and as soon as I got out, I was like, that's it. I won't be taking another Uber the whole time that I'm here. It's Waymo for me the whole way.
It's a little sketchy
at that point.
Yeah, it's super sketch. Nico, you guys have made up some ground. 5.5 games back now of Milwaukee as you guys start to play this week. Emotionally, what was last week like, and how good did this past weekend feel?
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, I mean, I think winning both games of that doubleheader was a really big deal. You know, winning a doubleheader against anybody is really challenging, but especially when it's the team you're trailing in your division, that's a significant day at the ballpark. And and just how we've won games lately, it's been a really nice variety of types of wins, and our starting pitching has just been so good for a while now, and it's really the backbone of consistency for a team, and they've really carried us.
6 of 7, 8 of 10, you know, the team itself is definitely cooking here lately. The offense, because there was such a standard set early in the season, still hasn't quite gotten back to that yet. So what is that balance of recognizing that the team is starting to roll, and like you referenced, that the pitching staff has continued to be really impressive, but, you know, you guys in the lineup still recognizing that there's some meat on the bone for where you can still take this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you phrased it well in that, you know, you can see that as a negative, or you can see it as a real opportunity and a positive sign that, you know, we haven't been at our best, but have still, you know, won some games lately. And our pitching has obviously kept us alive through some stretches in a way that, you know, that when those things sync up, you've got a chance to do some really special things, as we've done at other points of the season. And you know, in an ideal world, you're firing on all cylinders at all times, but that's not the reality of 162, but it's always the standard that we're chasing, and I think we're in a really strong place to put that forth in the remaining however many games left we have on the schedule.
I think it's fair to call Kyle Hendricks a Cubs legend. So,
definitely.
So what was that like to see him being pitching against the Cubs?
It was strange. You know, I was with Tommy Hotovy, our pitching coach, in the dugout, just kind of remarking about that as the game started, just seeing him take the mound and very familiar fashion with all of his, you know, his body language and his routines and all the things that Cubs players and fans have been, you know, so fond of for a long time. And, but also happy for him, you know, that he's had that opportunity and to pitch close to where he grew up. He's an all-time Cub. Absolutely fair to call him a legend, especially with his ties to the success of that World Series year, and you know, with all the superstars that team had, I think there was something about how Kyle went about his work that fans were really drawn to also, and it's just an amazing career for him that he's had.
And your perspective is always really impressive when I listen to you on with Lawrence and Matt on a regular basis here. And so for you as a younger guy who wasn't around the organization yet when Kyle was really at the height of his powers and being a part of that World Series squad, in what ways do you take that in? In what ways do you sort of recognize and appreciate that even within the moment when he's on the mound and you and your teammates are out here recognizing that you're facing a guy who's meant so much to this organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think his last start at Wrigley last year really captured that well. He pitched an incredible ball game, and just the reception that he received from the fans and the emotions that provoked in people, it just remind you how many lives you can touch just by, you know, being yourself and being fortunate to be in an organization that really appreciates great players and people that have, you know, he gave his huge chunk of his life to just being an amazing Cub. And I know I really appreciate him as a player. Obviously what we do on the field is very different, but he's a starting pitcher that, you know, obviously out there only once every fifth day, but he's watching every day and so observant of players on other teams, of what guys on our teams are doing. And if you ever asked him a question, like, he was just immediately aware of so much that was going on. And I thought that just level of attention to detail was super telling, both for the success that he had, but also about how he cared about other people.
Do players talk about the idea of long tenure in one place? Because right now you're one of the longer tenured Cubs. It's your seventh season in a Cubs uniform. I know that with how the game shifts and churns, that staying in one place for forever is almost impossible. But is that even a discussion that players have?
Oh, yeah. I think guys have a lot of respect for that. And honestly, I think a lot of players start their career, you know, with, especially if they're in a place they like, with that idea and kind of that dream. And, you know, whether it's up to the player or front office, obviously that's really hard to attain, even for the best players. But, yeah, it was a big deal earlier in the season when Ian, who's our longest tenured player, reached 1,000 games with the Cubs. Just like, you know, guys reach milestones all the time, but I think when it's all in one place, especially a place like Chicago, it's has a different level of weight and respect, and it's a huge deal, I think.
The weight of expectations for this season really kind of seemed like they started to crescendo in maybe more so of a negative way before the last couple of weeks here, going into that Brewers series, and, you know, probably Craig Counsell being questioned in a way that he really hadn't up to that point on his managerial decisions, and of course everything around Kyle Tucker. Let's start with the Craig aspect of that for you as a player. I know you and Craig constantly just kind of talk the game and talk about life and all these things and the perspective you guys like to share on various topics. But in what ways did you watch him handling that before you guys have begun to come out of what was a fairly difficult stretch for a while?
Yeah, I mean, he's remarkable in how he shows up for us every day, and that he really sticks to his core messages that he puts forth early in the season. And you don't see from our end a very different, overly reactionary, you know, different emotions every day kind of guy. He's showing up in a similar way, and he really enjoys being at the ballpark. He loves showing up and hanging out with the players. And I think that's the stuff that he really gets a kick out of and keeps him going too. So we both feed off each other. And I think more generally talking about, you know, the, maybe more negativity or, criticism from fans or things like that through a tough stretch. That's just part of having an amazing opportunity and having people that care. I think, like, I'd much rather be in a place where the opportunity for like joy and excitement and big moments is high. And that's also paired with, you know, criticism or challenges when things don't go well, because you want to be in a place where people care and it matters. And there is passion, and it's not always like going to be easy, but the opportunity for really great things is higher because of that.
When I look at the series against Milwaukee last week, and you can look at the stands and go, oh, well, the Cubs only picked up one game. And I look at it as you guys picked up two because of the tiebreaker. Now, I know that it's unlikely that plays a role, but I thought you guys getting the third win in that series was huge. I was sad that you didn't get the fourth, but getting that third one, I feel like there's something to the idea of keeping them in sight and knowing that even as well as they've played in the second half of the season, that even if it's by one game, that you guys won the season series, and have that in the back of your pocket for the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think winning the season series is significant. Like you said, the fourth game really would have been icing on the cake in that series and really put us in a strong place, I feel like. But yeah, season series is significant. Obviously, with the change in schedule, you don't play your division opponents as much. It'd be great to play them one more time down the stretch, and would just be another intense, exciting series. But it is significant, of course, both for this importance of a tiebreaker, and then also just within our clubhouse of winning head-to-head matchups and just embracing another good team and the opportunity to play them. I do think that's important. And yeah, of course.
It's hard to just spend the entire season ignoring standings, but are we at the point in the baseball calendar where that's a part of the conscious mind in the clubhouse more now, or perhaps even you guys flat out discuss it, just where the Brewers are, where you are, where things sit in the division, the wild card? Is that more acceptable to just sort of outwardly discuss?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the year, all players, I think, are pretty conscious of other teams and standings and the success that other players and teams are having, and it's all part of understanding your own team's story. Obviously, none of that's worth anything unless you're controlling your own end of it, so that's where the intention really lies. But, yeah, of course we know where we're at, and we know what's ahead of us. It doesn't change the daily task that much, but it does provide some bigger purpose, especially more so this time of year than in, you know, May or June especially.
So, Ann, you had a question for Nico. I'm going to move back and fall back here. Pro to pro, you guys talk about stuff.
For me, just as a guy, Nico, where I would, from one season to the next, never be completely confident. I wasn't one of the guys at the top of the roster usually during my NFL career. So this is NFL cutdown day, where the final cuts for the rosters are happening all throughout the league. And certainly we're talking about it here from a Bears perspective. How do you discuss the end of spring training with some of the younger players in the club's clubhouse, in the Cubs clubhouse, and just how to navigate that emotionally and mentally?
Yeah, wow, that is loaded, and I think it's interesting in baseball because, you know, everyone goes into spring training with their own younger players, with their own, like, drive to make that opening day roster, and it is a big deal to be, you know, standing out on the line for the anthem on opening day, and that 100% is a huge deal, but it's crazy when you look back now at the beginning of the season to opening day how much changes between then and now, so it's hard to tell somebody that, like, you know, that isn't that it's not the end of the road and if you don't make the team and all that. But the course of the season is really going to tell the full story. You know, I had 2021 was, I guess, the best example for myself personally, was really felt like I had a strong chance to, you know, not just make the opening day roster, but be an impact player for the team from day one, and didn't make the team out of camp. But it ended up being injuries that year that were the real challenge. Like, in hindsight, that not making opening day was a small thing compared to all that. So, it's definitely different careers and different stories. Everyone has their moments they reflect on that felt like monumental at the time, and then in hindsight, really wasn't what shaped their career at all, or it was. And it's a wake-up call and something that really provided clarity on what they can improve on. And I think it all depends on the conversations you have. And like you said, that's where the locker room and clubhouse can be so valuable, when you have guys that have experienced things like that before and then are able to at least share experiences with guys that are going through similar things.
Nico, it's funny because I remember at the beginning of the season, you were pretty, like, down on where you were offensively, and you now have an opportunity to have statistically your best season as a pro. How proud are you of the grit to stick with it when it wasn't going your way from a power standpoint, but you found other ways to help this team out? And now I'm looking at, you're a 5-WAR player right now. You're a 5-WAR player with a whole nother month to go. So what does that feel like when you walked into this season maybe being like, man, I don't know what's going on, and now you're at the precipice of your team being a playoff team and you having your best personal season as a pro?
I think there's a level of gratitude just, you know, for health. Obviously, you can't do any of that without it. And that was the biggest thing for me in spring training, coming off of surgery to my elbow and not getting to have a spring training of at-bats and things like that. So, it's so easy as an athlete, or really anybody, to, you know, be more aware of the things that you're not doing than what you are. And I do feel that a lot on a daily basis. And I feel like a lot of ways I can impact the game that I'm not, and things that I can do better. And I think, well, as athletes, you're always striving to improve on those things, but that can also be a slippery slope where you lose sight of the things, or maybe take for granted the things that you've done yourself for yourself and for the team that have gotten you to that point. So it's always a balance of the two, I think. And I don't take for granted my ability to contribute without necessarily feeling good. I think it's a huge part of being an everyday player in baseball and in any sport, I imagine, but always looking for ways to improve at the same time.
With the way that the schedule works out, it would be easy for a Cub fan, not a Cub player, but a Cub fan to go, ooh, the Cubs have a real opportunity here to make some hay against the Angels in San Francisco and against the Rockies. How do you stay in that moment of, we do just have to now take these games one at a time?
Yeah, absolutely, one at a time. But, you know, guys are aware of schedules and parts of the year. But, you know, a West Coast trip in August, no matter who you're playing, isn't traditionally always the easiest thing. But I thought guys handled the Anaheim series really well. Kind of two really close games and one blowout, but some really great moments. That homer by Pete was obviously just so huge for just winning that game. But like you said, like, setting a tone for the entire road trip and getting that Friday night win in a tough, close game, low-scoring game, and having a big moment, I felt like that was super uplifting. And those games and moments do sometimes feel bigger than just one swing.
Nico's at his destination.
Sorry.
He's at his destination, which is great.
I'm getting interrupted by robots, yeah.
And that's okay. We're going to let you go and get inside the ballpark. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you. Hope you have a great Tuesday.
We plan on it. That's Nico Horner, man. So
that's where, like, one of the androids reaches into the vehicle and they lift him up and take him to his destination the rest of the way?
No, it's not.
And when they grab you with those metal claws, you can't break free.
That's true.
Because they're made of metal and robots are strong.
And robots are strong. Yes, they are.
It's not quite iRobot yet, but it's getting close.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.